men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month here on this snowy winter day. That's right, we're still in winter, although yesterday I was in shorts. Here we are today, March 10th, right? March 10th, am I right on that? Yep, March 10th. 9 days into Lent, and we're getting snow. So in like a lamb, out like a lion. Here we go. We're still in for some more winter, so hunker down today. If you have to go out on the roads, of course, be safe. They weren't too bad driving down here from Quakertown today for me, but I imagine by the time I leave here, they're not going to be as good. So be careful out there today. We are talking to you live here in Doylestown at 1570 AM in Doylestown Holy Spirit Radio, also 1420 Chester County, and the King's Men radio program, second and fourth Friday of the month, talking about authentic masculinity. Today will be no different. We will be talking about the Masculine Genius Institute. This is a brand new offering as of last year that the King's Men put forward for the church. And I'm going to be talking with my co-founder of that, Dr. Philip Chavez, today, calling in from Temecula, California, about 10 after the hour. We're going to be talking about masculine genius. What does that mean? Why is there an institute called the Masculine Genius Institute? What's the ethos behind it, or the ethos of it, and I should say the genesis behind it? So we're going to be talking about this year's coming program, July 12th to the 14th. The summit, the annual summit, will be in Villanova, and we want you, our listening audience, to consider the invitation. Today we're going to talk about our speakers. We're going to be talking about what we did last year at Mundelein Seminary in Chicago and the success of that program. But before we do that, we'll update you on our programs at the King's Men. And we always begin our program with Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. So we'll do that now, and we'll talk a little bit about Lent and how that's going for you, how your Lenten plans are working out. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. Here we are, Holy Spirit Radio, and we use this beautiful prayer of Augustine's. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, the patron saint of Holy Spirit Radio, St. Joseph, to pray for us. And we're diving in our Lenten experience. We're 9 days in. And last time I was on the radio with you, prior to Ash Wednesday, we encouraged you to come up with a Lenten plan. And a lot of us wait till the last minute, or maybe just wait till Lent begins, but I was encouraging you to develop your Lenten plan. So here we are 9 days in. It's a good time to reflect and review how that is going for you. Hopefully you're fasting appropriately from the things that you need to fast from. Today, meat. We abstain from meat. So we self-deny, right? We voluntarily self-deny at the request of the church to deny ourselves meat today. So I hope that's going well for you. I hope that's not too much of a hardship. But it's also an opportunity for almsgiving and prayer and more self-denial. So in other words, we just don't fast. We just shouldn't fast on the days that we're required to fast or abstain. We should try and fast all during Lent. I have a brother in the Lord who will remain nameless just for his own edification and privacy and humility, who's doing a 40-day fast. And I said to him, "Oh my, are you doing bread and water?" He said, "No, I'm just going on 500 calories a day for 40 days. Wow, that's quite a commitment. I was very inspired by that. But we can deny ourselves many, many things. Last time on the program, we were talking about delaying gratification. And we can delay gratification with anything. We can delay turning on the radio as we're driving in our car. We can delay complaining. We can delay our participation in something, in a conversation, for instance. In other words, you want to jump in, you want to contribute, but delay that. Let another person speak. I mean, you can make everything a fast if you think about it. Everything you do can be a fast. Fast from salt on your food. Fast from creamer in your coffee. You know, anything. Drive the speed limit, I always like to say. That's a wonderful way to deny your desire to get where you want to go right away. Especially on a day like today. You better go the speed limit, maybe even under. But that's a great way to deny yourself. So how is your Lenten plan going? I pray it's going well. I pray that you are embracing this wonderful penitential time of the year. Almsgiving. Are you giving alms? The poor box at the one parish up in Pennsburg where I am, the Dorcas Fund they have there. Coming out of the scriptures in the Acts of the Apostles, Dorcas, the character in the Acts of the Apostles, said they shared everything in community. They drew on their resources and they shared as a community. So no one was monopolizing the funds. It was all went to the common good. So today we're going to be talking about the Mask and Genius Institute. And when we come back from our break, we'll have Dr. Philip Chavez on the air with us. But we're going to be talking about the Boys to Men journey, because this is the theme of our institute this year. We're going to be talking about why this is so important. At last year's summit, we developed a vision of manliness. We forged a vision of manliness, and we began with the church and pre-church Greek thought, Hebraic thought, ancient Hebraic thought, early church fathers, and we developed and forged a vision of manliness. And this was really the genesis, for this year's summit, which is we're building off of that. Okay, we have a good understanding of manhood. At least we did through this institute. I can't say the culture does. Culture does not. That's why the Kingsmen exist. We are answering the crisis in masculinity in the culture, the crisis in our church of masculinity. Men abdicating their roles as head of the household. Augustine talks about this. St. Augustine says that men, you are the bishop of your church, your domestic church. As head of your household, you are the bishop of your domestic church. So men don't really understand that, nor do they embrace that, you know, for themselves. And there's a collaborative complementarity. And so the Masculine Genius Institute isn't a reactionary thing to the feminine genius that John Paul II talked about, St. John Paul II, in Mulieris Dignitatum. There's a wonderful feminine genius. And of course, there's a complementarity there. Adam and Eve, collaborative complementarity, we see perfectly there. Whereas Adam was completed, not that he was incomplete in the sense of his manhood, but the complementarity of Eve, the helpmate, the suitable helpmate, completed the marriage, completed the man, completed the woman. It brought a fullness of truth there. The marriage, a foreshadowing of our heavenly banquet. The marriage, a great mystery, as Paul talks about in the church in the book of Ephesians, that this is a great mystery. And so we see this completion. So the masculine, you can't have feminine genius without the masculine genius. So when we come back from our first break, we will talk about why we decided to do this now. Dr. Philip Chavez, my guest, calling in from Temecula, California, and he's no stranger to these airways. We've had him on the air before. In fact, his voice is on the cover music and sound bites for the Kingsmen radio program. So when we come back, we'll dive into why now, why the need, what was the experience like last year in Mundelein, what happened, the feedback we got from it, and where we're going this year. And we invite you to consider that. July 12th through the 14th at Villanova at the Augustinian Friary on Ashwood Road in Villanova. If you want to learn more, if you can't stay with the whole program today, I invite you to check out www.masculinegeniusinstitute.com, and you can learn more. And you can come out and you can be a part of this institute this year. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dr. Philip Chavez.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
The Society of St. Gianna Bretomola will be having its annual St. Gianna Feast Day Mass on Friday, April 28th, all taking place at the Philadelphia Archdiocesan Shrine of St. Gianna, located in the Nativity of Our Lord Parish at 605 West Street Road in Warminster. The celebration begins with a rosary recitation at 6:30 p.m., followed by Mass, and ending with fellowship and light refreshments in the church hall downstairs. That's the St. Gianna Bretomola Feast Day Mass, taking place Friday, April 28th at 6:30 p.m.
Welcome back. Snowy, wintry day here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I am Mark Houck, your host of the Kingsmen radio program here at 1420 AM in Chester County and 1570 Doylestown, right where the studios are. I'm talking to you today about the Masculine Genius Institute. Prior to the break, I gave you the website, masculinegeniusinstitute.com, if you can't stay with us. My guest today, co-founder of the Masculine Genius Institute and great friend of mine, Dr. Philip Chavez. Welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, Mark. Looking forward to this program.
Great to have you. Your voice is going to be very familiar to our listening audience. As I said prior to bringing you up on the airways here, that your voice is on the intro music and quotes, sound bites from men, rather. They hear your voice, so some people might say, that voice sounds very familiar to me. So we've been connected for many years, and here we are again.
All right, good. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when you listen to the or you hear the pre-recorded or program, you'll hear yourself on the intro music. So we're talking about Masculine Genius Institute, Philip.
Good.
Yeah, we're talking about the institute, and I kind of alluded to just the last year, but I want to dive into for our listening audience, kind of the reason for this. You know, why now? Why is the Masculine Genius Institute, or even just the Masculine Genius, important to be discussed today? We've talked about over the years, you and I, about John Paul II, Mulieris Dignitatum, and the feminine genius, and where that all came from. Now, why is it important to bring up the masculine genius?
Well, I think if you remember historically, what was it, about two and a half years ago, came back from a trip to Rome, and the Vatican itself had another women's conference. And that's fine and that's good. I was just worried that as the Vatican seemed to be focusing on women and women issues, I felt the men were being left behind. So there's no parallel institute for men or to talk about manliness or anything for men in their development anywhere within any of the pontifical councils of the Vatican. So that concerned me. And, you know, we universally agree there is a problem with men in the world today. And this comes from a variety of ways. We see this in culture. We see this in the faith life, men being distanced. We see the family above all. And so the father is losing his place. And so, you know, as we have talked about the paradigms of leader, protector, and provider for years, you know, a man is losing, you know, his place in those three areas. And each one is being compromised on a number of different levels. And so when we come to this idea of the whole masculine genius, we want to not just raise something up to be aware of what that means in light of what that significance could be for John Paul II or the church, but to bring out masculine genius generally. And so we could go into, if you wish, the masculine genius to John Paul II, or, we could talk about current problems in the direction. But if we move forward right now to talk about the masculine genius to John Paul II, it's interesting how I think if we were to boil this down, there's a certain genius in women, as I understand the Holy Father's teaching, where the woman has a specific gift for the sensible and the particular. The man has a gift more for the abstract and the universal. And so this gift for the sensible and the particular, that is, a woman has a powerful sense of intuition where she can look at a person and be able to assess their needs just from a sense level. So, and you know, we call this a woman's intuition. You know, a child comes into the room, and half the times the mother, if they're guilty, the mother knows exactly what they've done. You know, so there are these giftings. Yeah, there are these giftings women have to see the needs of children just on an immediate sense, visual level. And they could see the needs of those in society and then those in the family, those in outside of society, in the community. Women just have this gift to know how to see needs, and then they intuitively just know how to put themselves in gear to meet those needs.
Right.
And so that summarizes what I understand John Paul II as the feminine genius. Now, the masculine genius, there's not much expounded there, at least in a direct manner, other than, again, men see things more in the abstract and universal. So they work better with concepts, theories, you know, things in some way outside the relational realm. And so the women who, as I understand, one conclusive way of understanding the feminine genius, women are genius in the relational order.
Mm.
Because they can see individuals, they can intuit their needs, they know how to serve those needs, and they think very much on an individual level. So, like in the family, for example, a mother can see the individual needs of each of the children better than the father.
Yes, she can.
But the father has a perspective, though, where he's to move the whole family as one unit together. And, you know, he needs to make decisions for the whole.
Head of the home, heart of the home, right? That's kind of what you're saying. Head of the home, heart of the home. Difference?
Generally, yes. Because he works in the level of abstraction and universals, that belongs more properly to a leader.
Mm.
And so his role is to be a leader of the home. And he makes those bigger, wider decisions that have to do with the common good of the family.
Interesting.
Just for the same way that church has taught, you know, consistently since Leo XIII, that a man by nature has a political mind. And so his natural domain was the more political realm, or the realm outside the home, where the woman's sphere, her sphere of influence, and is continually taught since Leo XIII, is in the domestic arena.
Good.
Because
well,
that's where she has her gifting, and that's where her genius lies.
Well, let's stop there. That's beautiful. First of all, what you just said, it summarizes it very beautifully. But I know there's people in the audience that would say, whoa, you're telling me women don't have the ability to think abstractly and all this stuff. And we're going to dive into this because at the first Masculine Genius Institute, we talked about this collaborative complementarity, this phrase that came from Pope Benedict XVI, this collaborative complementarity, which in other words, celebrates what you just said about being a woman that men strive to build up the gifts there, and then women support and build up the men that they're called to be. But before we do that, before
That's
we
right.
dive into there, I just want to tell our listening audience that we're talking to Dr. Philip Chavez today. He's the founder of the Masculine Spirituality International and also the co-founder of the new Masculine Genius Institute, which I was blessed to co-found with Philip. I've known Philip for years, and you spent a lot of years, you alluded to Rome, you spent many years in Rome, so you said that you understood that there was a gap in these conferences that the Vatican was putting on and celebrating Mulieris Dignitatum and the celebration of that document, but also these conferences to celebrate women, but also educate women in this feminine genius. Whereas masculine genius seemed programming seemed wanting, you know, for the church, there didn't seem to be anything. And so you and
That's
I
right.
put our heads together and we said, how about we do it for the
right.
church? So that's
exactly.
kind of the genesis behind it. So getting back to your point, I want you to further go in and address the women in the audience that might be listening right now who are saying
sure.
to themselves, wait a minute, did he just say that I can't do those things? And talk about how this came up kind of a little bit at the first conference, the first summit, and how that all beautifully wove itself into it. In fact, Dr. Deborah Savage from Minnesota was the initial speaker at the inaugural summit. She really addressed this in her opening remarks, didn't she?
Right, she did. And you know, Deborah Savage is very, very keen, and she's actually very common and popular speaker on the subject. But yeah, she's very, very good. I mean, it's not that women don't have these certain gifts to see from the abstract, nor men to see from the sensible. However, or the individual. However, at the same time, the women's more proper gift is to see that sensible individual, the particular. And a men's more proper gift is to see the universal a little bit
now
more.
Now, when you
readily.
Say more proper gift, just to help those in the audience who don't understand that language, what does that mean, more proper gift?
Well, his intellect more works that way.
Okay.
A woman's intellect by nature works very relationally. I mean, a woman was born out of relationship, right?
Right.
I mean, she was born. So immediately her navigational device is in relationship. You know, we men, we were born out of dirt throughout, you know. And so we have a relationship to the dirt and conquering that dirt and relating to that dirt, you know, which is, you know, to build and force things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get a kick out of every time I hear Deborah talk about, you know, if it weren't for men, we'd still be living in caves afraid to come out.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So, yeah, it's hilarious. But she makes a good point. She says, well, look, you know, men have this special gift of creating and fabricating and building things, constructing things in society that women don't have, okay,
right.
Or that women don't immediately have or have been giving to the extent that men have been giving.
Right.
So so she sees how that contribution, you know, is needful for simple survival. And so again, these gifts are supposed to be mutually complementary in the sense when they're used together, they form the child or they form society or they form the church or the community well, right? So and we see this most immediately as in all paradigms or in the family, right? So a child needs that nurturing particular one-on-one
yes.
needs met basis of a mother and also needs that overreaching directiveness of the father. In fact, in some way, a woman helps orient a child to home life, and a father in some way helps orient a child outside of home life. And it's fascinating, too. It's fascinating the way a father has a special influence on a daughter when she, you know, reaches the age of puberty, 13, 14, or whatnot, where the father helps the daughter in some way come into her own as a woman facing the world. And so he's needed very much in that role to help her understand men, how to interact in the world. And, you know, as a protector, his job, too, is to safeguard her in the world
right.
and her role and her place.
Kind of like St. Joseph, you know, with Mary. But so you bring this up, and the language is really good. And I want to give our listening audience a little bit more of input into, you know, you did your PhD, your doctoral work on this area of family life.
I did.
And so you're not speaking like someone who's just like, you know, had this, you know, insight that came to him. Like, you kind of studied this for many years and defended
right.
your doctoral dissertation in Rome in Italian, I might add. So you've seen this. You've had this perspective of 20, 30 years of ministry, and you've seen this gap. Okay, so
right.
we have this Masculine Genius Institute attempting to address this gap. Now let's talk about
exactly.
last year's 2016 summit. We decided to develop a theme. You came up with it, Forging a Vision of Manliness. This was the inaugural
right.
summit at Mundelein. On the grounds of Mundelein Seminary at the Cardinal Stritch Retreat Center, we brought together eight dynamic academic professor type people. Well, I was one of them. I wasn't one of those. But we brought together amazing people. And I want to read, if you don't mind, indulge me here.
Sure.
I want to read Steve Boza, the Family Life Office Director in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He was one of these attendees. And we really targeted people like him, people in full-time men's ministry, DREs, people who had the ability to take the information, because the goal of the Masculine Genius Institute was to equip the church with resources that would immediately impact programming that affects men
exactly.
and the family, right?
Right.
So here's what Steve said, and he sent this letter right after the summit, and I'll read it to the audience here. He says, "Dear Mark, thank you so much for inviting me to participate in the inaugural conference of the Masculine Genius Institute on May 18th to 20th, 2016. I must say that this was one of the most valuable conferences that I have ever attended over the years. I can already see how the information that was presented at the conference can be used in archdiocesan ministry." And he goes on to talk about Dr. Greg Botero's presentation, how helpful that would be to him and the issues that he's dealing with currently in his office. And he closes
sure.
by saying, "Not only were the presentations useful and informative, the ancillary conversations with the others, the other men and women during meals and free time was also very fruitful. I look forward to reading the papers once they are published. Please send me the copies, blah, blah, blah. May God bless you and richly bless this endeavor in your work." So that That's that was Steve Boza. And you remember Steve. We've met with Steve.
Sure,
and that
very
was
well.
The feedback from the first conference. So break out for us briefly, you know, what we were trying to do there and how we're going to build for this year.
All right. Well, okay, in light of the vision for that, it came from, again, as you say, my studies in Rome. The doctorate that I did was on papal teaching or magisterial teaching on character development. Okay, and so the idea here is that, as I read initially on the Christian Education of Youth by Pius XI, there was a statement that he made that impacted me, in some way impacted the rest of my life. And the Holy Father, Pius XI, said, in that document, it is not sufficient to form a child just for their eternal salvation. He said every child must be formed intellectually, morally, physically, emotionally, socially, and there's a six. I forget what that is. But in any case, there's a multidimensional area of human formation. And the Holy Father said very clearly, he says, this is not to be done in simply universal terms or universal guidelines. We must get down to the particulars of this formation. Okay, now, so with respect to the first Masculinus Summit, the idea was, well, let's first define manliness, or let's get to some definitions of manly character. And that's what we were trying to achieve in the beginning, to forge that vision of manliness. Because, you know, as many of us agree, well, there's a problem with men today, and he's being distant. We could talk about all the things of the masculine crisis. The question is, well, how do we define men? It's one thing to talk about we don't have enough good men, but what is the definition of a man? And so what are his proper fitting character traits? And so in light of that, that's what I tried to construct when we put together, and I introduced, you know, certain topic areas, was to get the definition of manly character to the surface.
Right.
And so the topics chosen were to surface, you know, what are these different aspects of character? And I'll be honest, I was quite surprised too. I mean, pleasantly surprised. I thought some of the presentations were some of the best I've ever heard and the most incisive. But the reason these conversations become very important they can become very exciting. Because to talk about human character is an exciting thing, because it goes to the, in some way, the core of our experience, core of our family life, and the core of our happiness. Because in some way, we can't find human happiness outside authentic character display of men and women both. And so this is what makes the whole project very exciting. So the closer we get to manly character and feminine character, as we do in a complementary way, the closer we can get just to put together this vision of manliness that we're trying to do.
Excellent.
And we're trying to put together. Yeah.
So the themes that we broke out, just for our audience's background, and you are in the process, and we recorded all these talks. We're putting together an audio set from that initial summit that we're going to be making available at the next institute in Villanova, July 12th to the 14th. Again, if you can't stay tuned with us today, my guest, Dr. Philip Chavez, we're talking about the Masculine Genius Institute, and it's coming to Villanova. It was in Chicago last year. It's coming to Villanova, July 12th to the 14th. So visit MasculineGeniusInstitute.com if you can't stay with us. But last year's summit, we had Ancient Hebraic Thought. Dr. Deborah Savage talked about that. So we kind of began with those basic building blocks, books, Book of Genesis. And then we moved into Ancient Greek Thought, which was Father Joe Levine. Am I saying that right? I always get his last name.
Levine. He goes by Levine. Yeah.
Father Joe Levine from the Diocese of Baker, Oregon, a good friend and expert in the great books from Thomas Aquinas, right? He went to St. Thomas Aquinas.
For
some of his early formative years before his priesthood. And then we moved into early patristic thought, which would be the early church fathers, and we focused on Augustine. I was blessed to be a part of that one. And then we moved into medieval thought, which was the work of St. Thomas Aquinas. Primarily, Father Gabriel Toretta, Dominican priest, did that one. And then we jabbed in there the chivalric period, what John Horvat did. And so we talked about that impact on the church.
Yeah, and very impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah. And how that even grew out of the church, the chivalric period, the chivalry, this idea of chivalry. And John did a great job with that. And then we had Dr. Greg Botero talking about the neurology and physiology. We kind of had a departure from a timeline there, but really he drew on some of the John Paul II's thinking. You handled the early Roman pontiffs of the 20th century, Leo the 13th, Pius X, 11th, 12th. You talked about, you know, what was their contribution to this vision of manliness. And then we had John Paul II's thinking with the theology of the body, and Dr. Pete Colosi handled that one. I think, did I miss any of our other...
Greg Bittaro.
Yeah, Greg. No, I said Greg. Yeah, I said Greg. We jabbed in there. So, okay. But yeah, so anyhow, we had those, and that created a wonderful history of this vision of manliness that seemed to have this recurring theme of man has a proper role, and you brought that up, the, you know, proper gift. But it seemed to me that all these early, you know, church fathers and saints, and it seemed to me that the common theme overall was men have a specific role, women have a specific role, and they both need to be celebrated and elevated, and they both are designed to complement one another. But we must, and Aquinas was big on this, we must not dismiss the man's role and
right.
And muddy the roles, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Cross-pollinate them in a way. So anyhow, your final reflections on what we kind of learned from that. And as we build to this year's summit, you know, what's the takeaways? What was the takeaways from that first one?
Gosh, that's a huge, that's a
I
very
know.
Wide question.
I
yeah, I gosh, where do you even start? One of the things I found, to be quite honest, the most fascinating point of that entire conference was the presentation. This, in my perspective, was by John Horvat. And he talked about the feudal system and how knighthood worked in that feudal system of serving a lord. And he talked about, you know, the place of, we could call them the peasants or whatnot. But,
sure.
But it was fascinating the way he said that to be a knight really meant you were, one, given over to another man. You were subject to another man.
Mm.
And one of the things I find that's very, very brilliant is there's a parallel tier two with the faith life and life generally. Is that we men must always be subject to other men. There's always somebody before above us. And that should be our mentor. In the beginning, it's our fathers, it's our uncles, the men around us. Then it becomes our mentors, the priests, the church, and whatnot. So there's an important part of men fostering and developing a humble and, I'll even use the word, strong and dynamic subjectude of a, if that's a good word, of authority. You know, to another, that he learns to defer well. Because in that way, if a man can learn to be a good follower, then he can be learn to be a good leader.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening is women have lost the confidence of men and their ability to lead. And I think that's in great measure, my opinion, and I think this is John's as well to some extent, or at least he was alluding to this, is that we haven't been trained well to be good followers.
Mm.
And of course, that's what the church needs. That's what's needed in business. That's what's needed in the family. That's what's needed in the political order. We first must become good followers in order, and good, well-trained followers in order to be good leaders.
Right. Great reflection for this time of Lent, too, for us as men. So we're going to be transitioning to our second break. We're just wrapping up the first Masculine Genius Institute, the inaugural Masculine Genius Institute that Philip Chavez, my guest today, Dr. Philip Chavez and myself, were a part of developing for the church last May in Chicago, Mundelein Seminary. And we have an audio set. And we're going to make this audio set available at the next summit, which is going to be in Villanova, July 12th to the 14th. So if you like what you're hearing, and you know, who's this John Horvat? Who's Dr. Deborah Savage? You know, Dr. Colosi, I maybe heard of that before. Joe Levine, he talked about, Father Joe Levine talked about Homer and the Iliad,
right.
And how, what the roles of the characters in Homer's Iliad, what we could learn from that. I thought that was fascinating, when
good.
We talk about those characters. So brilliant what these presenters gave us. So we captured that all. Philip captured all that on audio set. And we're going to make that CD set available, at 9 CD set available at the next Masculine Genius Institute. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Dr. Philip Chavez talking about Masculine Genius Institute number 2, the summit in Villanova, July 12th to the 14th. Stay tuned. We're right back.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen. If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Attention, dear Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. The End of the Wild Retreat Weekend for Men is returning to the Philadelphia area in 2017. Hi, I'm Mark Houck, founder of the King's Men, and I want to invite all men in our listening audience to consider joining us at one of our upcoming End of the Wild weekends. We will be hosting this transformative retreat at our brand new Leadership Training Center in gorgeous Bucks County in May and September. Come and experience your masculinity in ways like never before. The King's Men will be introducing new activities and experiences for men as we continue to unpack our manly roles of leader, protector, and provider. We will also be returning our Into the Wild program to the Pittsburgh, Arizona, and Texas areas in 2017. For more information about the upcoming Into the Wild retreat and to view a full schedule, visit IntoTheWildWeekend.com. Space is always limited, so reserve yours soon. Hope to see you in God's wilderness. We're back on the air. Mark Houck, founder of the King's Men, talking today with Dr. Philip Chavez, my co-founder with the Masculine Genius Institute. And we just got done discussing and kind of reviewing what we did at the inaugural summit last year. I want to dive and spend the last 20 minutes of the program really talking about the next summit, which Philip has come up with a wonderful theme for this summit. And we want to invite you, our listening audience, to pray about maybe joining us. This program is really designed to help this particular summit's theme is really designed to help fathers. We're talking about the boy to men journey. And so tell us a little bit about this upcoming summit, July 12th to the 14th, Phil. What's the heart of this summit? What are we trying to accomplish here?
Okay, well, as we've spoke about before, the first summit was a lot about establishing the character of a man, his traits, his abilities, his aptitudes and whatnot, his gifting. So expounding upon that, we did learn much, and who knows, we could have maybe had 10 conferences on what it means to establish manly character. But you know, in our conversations, we decided to at least launch into one aspect of his character, one vital area. You know, in some way, when it comes to manliness, we could, you know, men are at various stages. I mean, we could talk about their early development, you know, before the age of 6. We could talk about their development from 6 to 12, 13, before puberty, and to talk about the development from, you know, into manhood, from puberty to 18 or 19 or whatnot into adolescence. And of course, there's a period of men in his 20s. It's very different from his 30s, in some way different from his 40s. And then in his senior level, he's different too. Now, we could have a conference conceivably on all those levels, but what we've chosen in our discussions, Mark, is that we thought we'd focus on adolescent development. Mm. And so, you know, in some way, that's the more, I guess we would say, the more proximate development of forming the boy into a man. And so the idea is that when this is done, especially, or when this is worked on or trying to be achieved, it seems to me a father, a parent, an educator, even a priest should be not just be very clear on what masculine character is, but also to the extent, as I mentioned from Pius XI, on how to form that. Not only the particulars of the character, but what it means to form in that character. How do you form? What do you need to do when you form? What do you need to keep in mind when you form? And so that's the basis for this upcoming summit on Boys to Men, Molding Manly Character. And so, yeah, we worked on these topics in the hopes that, you know, we've got a good overview of various elements of an adolescent development of a boy who, you know, as I would often say, is that in some way, men are more complicated than women, and so I think there's many different dimensions of a male's formation that makes him very complex. I think women by nature are a little more simple. But of course, if you don't meet those simple needs, then they can become very complicated. But men themselves have a number of needs to forge them in society, to forge their manhood, to be that leader, protector, provider. And so I hope, if you want to go through those topics.
Yeah, let's go through those topics. Now
sure.
We have 8 speakers that we're working on right now. I think 95% of them are all confirmed. So, yeah, tell us the themes. So, we're Boys to Men, Molding Manly Character. That's our that's our overarching theme. Now, what are the sub-themes? What are the the topics underneath all that?
Well, I hope to give, in some way, an overview of character, of church teaching on character development more proximately for the adolescent. That'll be more of an introductory, so I'm not sure if we'll spend, a full period on that, but at least I'll lay out some of the groundwork established by the church in the area of adolescent development. We want to talk about a sports impact on a boy's formation. It's interesting, my opinion is that one of the ways men suffer very deeply is that they haven't learned how to interact well. And part of that interaction is through sports, which we talk about, and it's also through combat training. And so these are common things, even combat training, which all men used to have to learn, has a value in masculine formation. I believe it's one of the chief things which help men conquer their fears and help them not be afraid of death. Mm. But so we have the interaction of sports helps build up a man, his camaraderie. And in that way, too, it all leads into brotherhood. Sports, combat training leads into brotherhood. But also what leads into the brotherhood is men spending time outdoors. We'll have one speaker on, scouting practices, how to form men in the outdoors. We have one speaker is coming. We'll talk on initiation of fathering, or at least his experiential knowledge of, fathering his son along the Camino de Santiago, which I'm looking forward to that. The role of mentorship. What are the roles of mentorship in a boy's life? And again, as boys are more complicated and they're multifaceted, I've always thought too that one of the more profound reasons, this is my opinion, for male insecurity is not enough mentors came into his life to teach him and to form him in the various areas of manliness.
Wow. Well said.
And so. Every man needs to have it on his radar that I really believe this, all the more so uncles and whatnot, to form boys, use their gifts to form boys in the society on the skills that they have. And so as men, yeah, we just need those variety of skills. And we feel loved and we feel formed and we feel empowered when we do have these mentors forming us. All men are hungry, right, especially young men, for older men to lead them. And so, also... work on, let's see, we have a topic of leadership. I'm trying to think what else. I'll also talk about development of, how we could say moral development, development of the chastity and the sexual drive. And, of course, what I hope to bring out in that is how to form that harmoniously and peacefully. And some way, too, how is a boy formed so that he doesn't become afraid of his sex drive? And I think this is probably one of the more dominant issues in terms of what's not being done in a boy's formation. Because boys, for the most part, unless he's carefully formed, he will fear that drive within him.
Mm.
And that fear will cause a number of issues. Now, we don't have to go into that right now.
No, sure.
And we've seen, too, and I'll just say very briefly, a lot of times we've seen that men consider and as the sex drive is part of his fault. Or as part of his just his fallen nature, but he needs to see it as part of his strength, and part of his gifting, and part of an integration, which makes for positive formation.
Yeah, that's a whole summit. That's a whole summit right there. Now we talked about we're exploring this, but getting someone to even address, and it might be difficult for this summit, but the technology, the impact of technology on an adolescent today, so huge.
Right, it is. It is, and I guess it's hard to find experts, and so, we've been struggling in that area. But, the use of technology is vital. I heard a presentation recently that one priest who was speaking about how technology should be seen as a tool to get things done. And what's happened, I think, today, even boys use technology a lot for entertainment, and I think that's highly toxic. Not that they shouldn't use it for part of what may entertain them. But an overuse of technology for entertainment purposes is actually harmful. for an adolescent.
Yeah, I can
at
see
least
that.
In an inordinate way.
It's a danger.
Yeah.
You know, the parents today, and I'm a parent of five children, it's a danger because, you know, the television, the construction or the creation of the television, the invention, you know, was obviously in the 50s or whatever, and people got mainstream televisions, and television became like a babysitter, you know, for parents.
Right.
And today, the television is being replaced with the gadgets, the cell phones, the DS that the kids are using. And all these, the Wii's, and these kids are interacting and interfacing online with people all over the world, creating a world of potential, you know, problems morally, ethically, character wise. So it's a truckload of issues when you talk about technology today.
Exactly. I mean, and Mark, if we were to boil this down, I think it comes down to this, is that the difficulty with this electronic cyber technology that we're talking about here is that it gives a sense of instant pleasure and gratification.
Instant.
By our use. And what happens after habitual use and habitual gratification, I mean, that's why people, you know, will pull out their phone, you know, 30 times a day on Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a certain kind of gratification we get for seeing this new post or whatnot. And the problem is, if that's done too habitually, we will come to live on a level of being gratified and being pleased. And I think this is what's happening to boys nowadays in their development.
There's no delayed gratification.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They want it instantly. And so they live on the level of gratification.
Yeah.
So everything that they do and is now measured in light of whether they're gratified or not.
Oh, and you can see the manic, you know, the mania that might come through that. A bipolar, like they're constantly endorphins being triggered and stimulated.
Sure.
And then when they don't have that, how low they might come down. And you see, you know, the record of teenage suicides today, it's probably unprecedented in the history of the church or the history of the world.
Right.
So anyhow, I don't want to go off too much in a tangent. Let me just brief give the rundown, and then let's talk about the summit and how we can get people there. We got like 10 minutes left. So Dan Duddy, the Catholic Athletes for Christ board member, he's going to be doing the sports and impact on formation, adventure and scouting. Good friend of yours, Nick Goldman, HP Communications,
yes.
Doesn't stand for Hewlett Packard, but Higher Power. Huge company who's done these adventuring and scouting with boys. Great input. Mentoring, Jason Craig from Fraternus. Wonderful. That whole ministry is designed and developed for mentoring purposes, helping men mentor young boys. Leadership, Kingsmen, they're going to be talking about that. I will be there. You'll be doing the moral and psychosexual development, the two presentations there. And then we also have Matt Pinto doing that initiation. Ascension Press is on Matt Pinto. No stranger to our listening audience. So so that's a little bit of the lineup, and we're working on a couple key other people to kind of fill out the – I almost had General Droughty and General Mullen, two military commanders, although their schedules didn't work out. We're working on possibly getting a pretty elite military guy to come and give a presentation. That was kind of exciting.
It was.
So, let's talk about this year's conference. Go ahead. You want to comment further?
Yeah. So, in light of all of these topics, you can see how for any priest, any parent, any educator, even any mother would gain so much by learning about the nature of the boy and how he is to be formed. I think what's going to go on this conference is going to be extremely valuable for all these people.
Yeah.
And certainly for women especially who find men such a mystery, mothers and even women educators, I think they can gain a tremendous amount. So we want to encourage women to come also to attend.
Yeah.
And to see what's being offered here. So aside from men and male audience. But again, in some way, I think much of the content will resonate directly more with fathers and male figures and male mentors. But those educators and formators from all, you know, both sexes and from a variety of dimensions all ought to come.
Yeah.
Even coaches should be encouraged to come.
Oh, yes.
High school principals to understand the nature of the boy, what he's struggling with, why he thinks the way he does, why he approaches things the way he does, what may be lacking as to why he behaves in certain ways. And as well, not just to address what is negative and just find resolution to a negative, but really how to build up the boy in a positive way. Certainly by things that must be said properly to him, how he's to be approached, how he's to be guided, how he's to be led, and whatnot. I think all these things, all these areas, I think any educator, any formator, any parent, any adult would gain much from.
Yeah.
And could be very much life impacting for them.
Yeah, and we intentionally designed this particular summit to kind of reach the masses a little bit. You know, the first summit was very academic, very polished as far as research, and although we're going to have research, every presenter will be presenting their research. You know, the 5,000 words, it will be strong. At the same time, it's not going to be intellectually not accessible. Whereas, you know, at some level, I felt like I was a rope on a Goodyear blimp last year when I was there. It was, you know, listening to Deborah Savage and Father Levine talk. I kind of felt that way at times, but this one is going to be, you know, if you're a father, you're going to get something out of this. If you're a mother, we even talked late yesterday, and it's in the works, but maybe even having a woman as a speaker, a mother of five boys, possibly,
right.
You know, could kind of fill out the whole picture. So
right.
I think you're right to your point. The women might get a lot out. I know they would get a lot out of this. So MasculineGeniusInstitute.com is the website, and we have a commuter rate. So for the locals, you know, we're providing housing those that want to stay there. Villanova's university's given us Kletkotka Hall, which has these wonderful suites and apartments that we'll be able to have our speakers and our attendees from out of town stay in. We also have the Radnor Hotel right down the road that's given us a block of rooms at a discounted rate. But for those that are local that want to commute, we got like a commuter rate. So I invite you to check out the website and really discern that. Pray about it. It's a Wednesday to Friday, so we're not looking at a weekend here, right? So people would have to take some time off from work, possibly maybe coordinate a babysitter or something like that. So last year's summit, we deliberately incorporated, you know, we have lunch, we have breakfast and dinner. We deliberately incorporated this interactive element, which I thought was really cool. We had the attendees really participate and dialogue with our presenters. Why don't you finish up our time talking a little bit about that dynamic?
Yeah, in some way, Mark, that was the most exciting part of all. I mean, you can always get the talks later, right? But one thing you can't get is the experience of networking and asking questions and interfacing with all of these experts and all these people who've thought deeply on all of these subjects. I mean, it's a golden opportunity for anybody, like I say, any parent, educator, priest, parent, to go to to interface with some of these scholars. And I thought the most fun of the whole conference wasn't just even the discussions, was even those discussions we had at meals and whatnot. Mm. I thought they were very stimulating, very gratifying, and anybody who had questions could ask them. The presenters, I found they were very open. I'm sure they will be just the same way this time around.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. I think that's going to be an exciting part for anybody who participates.
Now,
Yeah,
go ahead. No, I was going to say, now we talked about on the phone yesterday, you and I had a little time to catch up. We got this CD set. Now, give us an update and tell us a little bit about the publications that are emerging from these summits, like that it's not just standing alone in time. It actually is going to have this timeless element to it, this memorialization through publication. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, in two dimensions, Deborah Savage and I are still working on getting the book together, the final book compilation of all these summit papers that were presented. And in fact, that was the intention, in some way leave a legacy so people who couldn't go to these conferences could have that with them. We very much hope that these texts will go into libraries and seminaries and centers of formation, high schools, colleges, and whatnot. So we hope there will be a legacy of writing on these subjects, but also as well, we hope there will be that legacy where people will be able to listen to these conferences live. And so we're still working on the packaging for that. So while they'll be ready for the summit, they still should be ready in about 1 month. So looking forward to that. And I just think it's just going to be great for people to listen over these things again and again. I mean, I even go back through the summit papers and the last years there were so, I don't want to just use the word dense, but there was just so much material and content there that one can reflect on for a long time, actually.
Sure. So we're excited to bring the summit to the East Coast. I even alluded to maybe bringing it on the West Coast next year. So we kind of started out in the middle of the continental United States, and now we're here on the East Coast. So it's right in our backyard. I talked to Frank Eliason here at the studio. The 14th is actually the second Friday of July for the Kingsmen. So we might even be able to record live my talk. I think I might be. I think I'm presenting on the 14th. So we could have it live and broadcast it on the airways here, or some element of the weekend, or the week rather. So again, invite our listening audience to go to MassCongeniusInstitute.com, learn more about how you can register. And see if it fits into your schedule. Final thoughts. We got 2 minutes left about this. What it's done for you. What you see for the future for the Mass on Jesus Institute, Philip.
Sure. Well, I just don't want to boast what we put together, but a number of people told me, and you've heard this yourself, Mark. They said it was the best conference they've ever attended.
Wow.
And I feel that way. Not just in light of the content that was presented, but also just in light of that, we're getting to the heart of, in some way, happiness in the home, happiness in the church, and happiness in society. I mean, we're getting to some of the most core, most important issues, especially that go and direct themselves to relationships, spousal relationships, relationships to parent and child, parent and son, father to son, mother to son, and whatnot. And so we're getting to the core of really what's important in life. And that is the interchange of human love through a healthy understanding of that gifting each has to give in love to each other.
Well said. Super well said. It's gone by way too fast, Philip. We'll have to do it again. In fact, we're back on... We're back on this month on the fourth Friday. We might even have to do a follow-up to this program because it's just so rich. The 24th, I'll be here. So we'll talk about that. So my guest today has been Dr. Philip Chavez. We've been talking about the Masculine Genius Institute. Again, MasculineGeniusInstitute.com. We are taking registrations. We'd love to have you. Villanova University, Augustinian Friary, right on the campus there. We will be there. Father Michael DiGregorio will be our daily homilist at our masses. So check that out. Philip, till next time, we'll talk again about Mass on Jesus Institute. I'm Mark Howe.
Looking forward to it.
God bless you. Thank you again.